Hey, After Buzzers, welcome to another episode of Leah Remini's Scientology and the Aftermath. Today we're going to be discussing Season 3, Episode 3, Unlikely Pairing. We'll be talking about the odd partnership between Scientology and the Nation of Islam. It is a doozy, so you're not going to want to go anywhere. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Psych. Shout out to you for this.
Right? I just felt like this was perfect.
Classic song choice.
Ebony and Ivory.
Because it's an unlikely pairing,
perfect harmony,
you guys.
It's not so perfect on this episode.
Not quite.
Guys, this is the goal.
Yes, this is the goal. Welcome back to another episode of Scientology in the Aftermath. I'm really excited to talk about this episode tonight because I learned a whole lot that I didn't know. I was like, I've seen everything.
Right.
I have not indeed seen everything. I'm your host, Taylor Gates. I am joined by one lovely panelist tonight.
Just me, you guys.
Just
Jackie
you.
Ray.
It's going to be fine. We're the Ebony and Ivory.
Girl, you see what we did there.
Beautiful right there. It's perfect harmony.
Simpatico.
Wow.
We're coming together.
This is beautiful. So what did you think of this episode? Because I don't think that you thought this episode was too beautiful.
I was speechless yeah. Quite often. There was a bunch of times where I was like, I have to rewind this. Did he just say that this just really happened? But you know, again, shouts out to Leah and Remini. I love that. You know,
so
make
good.
Sure you know how to say her name. Shouts out to her for it once again. I know I say this every week, but this is a light that even though, because you and I have talked about this, we both watch a lot of documentaries mm-hmm. on this topic, but this is a very, very in-depth, unique perspective, things that I just flat out didn't know.
Yeah, and she covers something so different every single week. Mm-hmm. I feel like none of it ever really gets repetitive, and she just keeps exposing more and more things and like peeling the layers back
right.
of this crazy organization. And obviously tonight was its very, very odd alliance with the Nation of Islam. So let's just break down a little bit about what exactly that organization is, because I was not too familiar with it. You obviously were a little bit more familiar with it. You had been to the church for a year and a half.
I was part of the Nation of Islam in Colorado for about a year and a half, 2 years. I'm probably a little too vocal to stay in it for a long term, but big surprise there. but at its core, I you know, definitely believe in the teachings and the followings of the Nation of Islam, especially when it relates to the Black community. I'm very pro-Black. I have pro-Black issues. And I think that, you know, because one of the first things they taught me was something that I had said and always got ridiculed for in my family. And it was that the civil rights movement was the wrong idea. You know what I mean? Because historically, you can't just rape, murder, and kill people and then say, yeah, we're all buddies now. It's great. And then us trying to assimilate into that system that was designed for us to fail. It was never going to work, and it hasn't worked. So the Nation kind of preaches that in order for the Black community to heal itself, we have to depend on ourselves. We have to create our own schools, our own churches. We have to love each other, banking systems and all that. So definitely it was easy to suck me into it because I was so pro-Black and they were doing good in the community. I think for me, again, the difference between male and female. Minister Farrakhan, I didn't have any problems with his teachings per se. It was just so restrictive. And I didn't stay in it long enough to you know, get so indoctrinated. It's probably hard to indoctrinate me. But you know, it was definitely one of those things where, you know, as much as they were doing, I thought they could do more. You know what I mean? Especially if that's your fundamental goal. So I didn't. So when I saw this unlikely pairing, I have to be honest, I didn't read the description. So I did not think that this was going to be the unlikely pairing because you have a very, you know, as Leah said, a very white organization coming together with a very Black organization. And I was like, on the surface, again, I'm going to say this. I know I say this a lot. Genius on behalf of the Church of Scientology, because anytime I think you look around an organization and there's no diversity, something's wrong with that organization. So on the surface, genius for the Church of Scientology saying, hey, we do need to reach out to the Black community, the Latino community, the Asian community. So on the surface, I think that's exactly what all religions should do. So, you know, kudos for that. But the underlying issue, all bad.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. It's very counterintuitive in a way, right. Because, I mean, we're talking about, they were interviewing, you know, Ishmael and a couple of people who were in the Nation of Islam for, you know, a decade, 25 years, and saying, you know, like, white people aren't even allowed in the spiritual spaces. And then you have Scientology, where there's, like, one black man who became a leader, and he was the only real prominent, you know, African-American in the entire organization. And so it's like, how are you going to combine that? Because they're so fundamentally different. But I agree with you. It's genius, because it's like, oh, they know that this is going to make them look better. And so they exploit that fact just to look better, because it's all about appearances within Scientology. If you've learned anything, we've learned that it's all about appearances.
But you can still get, because you're like, oh my God, they're doing the right thing. And it's, you know, for people who aren't in any religion, I think that those are the moments that you hold on to, the moments of hope, you know what I mean? Where you can say, hey, I know X, Y, and Z is bad, but look at this one glimmer, this one silver lining, you know, but the dark cloud is just so massive, you know? So
absolutely.
It's just kind of a hard situation to navigate through, because I think anytime you're in something, no matter what it is, if you're passionate about it, if it's important to you, you want it to work.
Absolutely. You know? But it was never going to work, obviously, just because, I mean, the fact that they were saying, they were breaking it down, and they said that Scientology believes that every other faith is worthless, and they don't have any, you know, community. They don't believe in Christ, which is, like, I'm assuming a pretty predominant part of the Nation of Islam.
No, it's Allah.
You know, Allah.
So, the nation has the same kind of thing. There is no God other than Allah, which, you know, later years they've come to kind of interchange, you know, Christ. But again, that's one of those things where you got to pick a, you know, pick. And I hate to say that, because I don't think you necessarily have to pick a deity. But I get it. That's your core, you know, your core principles. So again, and it's funny, because even though they showed in the churches of, this what we watched tonight, they showed a lot of, like, anti, I'm doing air quotes, but I don't mean that in the way that it seems, but they did a lot of anti, you know, Semitic, anti, what else?
LGBT.
LGBT. So the Nation of Islam is pro-black, like, period, end of subject. So I think you can be pro-black and not bash other, you know, other religions, other nationalities, and things of that nature. You can say, so this is where I would have been okay with it, if the nation would have said, look, you guys are white and don't believe what we believe. We believe that as a church, we need, as a people, we need to stick together and solve our own problems. But if you want to come in here and give us drug programs, if you want to help the homeless, if you want to, fine, we'll pair with you at that, because we're not anti other people. Mm-hmm. We're just pro-black. But to say, hey, we're going to pair up with you so you can pimp out, because now they're getting money.
Exactly.
That's the thing that threw me off. When we were watching it, I literally choked.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait, what?
It's crazy. Let's dive into the actual interviews that they did, because I think, like, all three people that they interviewed gave such sort of different perspectives and kind of just gave us all of this new information. So the first person they talked to is Ishmael Bey, who was a member of the Nation of Islam for 10 years. And he actually still, I think, believes in most of its teachings, mm-hmm. but sort of separated himself once they started integrating with Scientology, because he didn't believe in the, you know, teachings that Scientology was spreading, because it's fundamentally different than mm-hmm. what, you know, he was taught to believe in it. So the Nation of Islam is very family oriented. They're all about discipline and self-respect, and coming from a military background, he was very, you know, comfortable in that and believed in that, and I think that's completely fair and a great teaching, you know what I mean? And like you said, yeah, they teach self-pride and self-sufficiency, and then they teach Dianetics, which is, like, it's, like, under the guise of having, you know, the self-respect and self-betterment, but it's not like that at all. Like, what did you think of sort of the hypocrisy of this situation?
I think it just reminded me why I'm very anti-religion. If I'm going to be anti-anything, it's probably why I'm anti-religion, because I think that at its core, I did, okay, again, genius on the Church of Scientology's part, because they didn't immediately go in with the Dianetics. They presented it as self-help, like, you know, and all of the self-help industry is huge, you know, so presenting it as self-help is fine. And then you kind of hook people. But if you're saying self-help, but not showing self-help, if you're not, because helping you helps me ultimately, you know, so that kind of hypocrisy, but you still, the Nation of Islam would still have to deviate from their core values in order to allow Scientology in. So I watched this episode just waiting for it, you know, and I, again, Leah, you are the most amazing, because she was like, all right, I get what Scientology gets out of this. What does the Nation get out of it? Mm. And then sidebar, great editing, because that's a perfect place for a commercial. Because I was like, come on, you know, so yeah. Keep you on the edge of your seats. But when they come back and they say, you know, okay, well, for every person that joins, you get 10%. What was it? 10% of the...
Yeah, it was like 10% of processing services and 15% of the amount received for training, which I don't quite know what all of, you know, what categories those fall into. But just the fact that they're getting any money for recruiting, it's essentially a pyramid scheme. Like, it's, there's no... That blew my mind completely, like, when you add the financial component. And that's something that, you know, this season has really been focusing on with the, you know, tax-free dollars and things like that. And just putting it into the light of how money-driven it is was just crazy.
I would love to hear from... and I see some of you in the live chat. Feel free to shout us out, and we'll definitely mention your comments on air. If any of you are in the Nation of Islam, I would love to hear from you, especially now that you've seen this episode, because some of the fundamental, again, cores of the Nation is to, you know, basically we're still combating the aftermath of slavery, you know, and to know that, and to know that's what we're doing, but then to know that the organization decided to basically slave out their members for money. Like, I would love to find out, because that would devastate me. Because even watching this, even though I'm not a member of the Nation, I still, every time I see a person from the, and they tell me they're in the Nation of Islam, I automatically put them on a higher level, because mm-hmm. I know they're disciplined for the most part. I mean, obviously there's different people, but they're disciplined and they have a core belief system that I can relate to. So for me, I was like, oh, no, this is awful. So if I was in that, you know, just diehard in that religion, or if I was raising my children that way, and then now, you know, somebody's handing me a Dianetics book and telling me to teach that to my kids, I just would love to hear, like, how do you, especially when you know at the end of the day, it all comes down to money.
It does.
And not even money that's going to benefit your community, no. Just money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So, yes, yeah, Scientology, very much into money. That's kind of their whole thing. But you know what isn't? AfterBuzz TV, because we do this for you guys.
That's
for
right.
For free. Can you tell us more
yes,
about
I can.
AfterBuzz?
Yes, I can. Hey, AfterBuzzers, now, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button right now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments right now so we can shout you out and thank you on air. And for now, thanks for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of Talk TV.
Yes, thank you so much
yes,
for that.
Yes, that's, we love you guys. And don't forget, we can see you. We see your little faces, but you're not commenting.
See,
so go ahead and comment.
Let us see your little words, you
let
guys.
Let us see your words.
Come on. All right, let's move on to Hector Muhammad's story, mm-hmm. because his was heartbreaking to
it
me.
Was.
I
it
mean,
was.
He was in the Nation of Islam for 26 years. That's, you know, a quarter of a century. It's mm-hmm. a crazy long time. And the moment he kind of questioned Dianetics, questioned Scientology, he was completely sort of, he was shunned. But before that, he was just sort of made to seem like he was crazy and
right.
he wasn't committed enough and that he needed to study more and pray more, which is bad enough in and of itself, just because it's like you're completely disregarding all of his feelings and all mm-hmm. of his questions. And I don't think that any actual religion like tells you not to question things. Like, I think that's completely wrong, and like beside the point. You know, the point of having faith is to question and believe anyway, things like that.
I don't know. When I was a Christian, I would ask certain questions, and I was always told, pray and God would reveal.
Yeah.
I never got an answer, you know, and it wasn't like somebody ever said to me, let's sit down and, you know, figure this out together. Now, I do believe, like my mom says, it's how you deliver information. Because, you know, somebody telling me, you're wrong for even asking that probably wouldn't have gone over well for me, you know?
Yeah, and even if you don't have all the answers, like, I don't think that you should be, you know, shunned for asking them. I think curiosity is a very natural and a very good thing, because I think it can almost strengthen your faith in some ways, if you know what I mean. But not only was he sort of shut down, he was, like, completely blindsided by people, like, spreading lies about him on this radio program. So the radio program is called Lions Out the Cage, and it was, I guess, just a group of other Nation of Islam members. And sort of out of the blue, they used this platform to say all these things about Hector, like he was still eating pork, he was, you know, doing indecent sex acts on his wife, and just completely, you know, fabricating all of this stuff to make him look bad. What did you think about that situation?
Again, I totally understood what he was saying, because again, and I, so if you are in the chat and you're an expert on the Nation, please share your comments. But while I was in it, it was very much like he said, it was very much, if you've offended your brother, you have to go. That's one of the things that was always said. If you've offended your brother, you need to go to your brother and find out why. So to hear that no one went to him and was just like, hey, we're just gonna make this podcast and make you look bad. But wait, what? Like,
yeah,
have a conversation. Just in general, just have a conversation. I think that Scientologists like Leah, they kind of knew it was coming once they started, because these practices have been implemented. They've seen it happen to other people. So perhaps not as blindsided. Still hurts nonetheless, but probably not as blindsided. But with one caveat, the Nation does have he talked about the rules. They do have, you're not supposed to really associate with somebody who's left the Nation on bad terms. It's not to the extent of
like what Scientology does, right? Or anything.
I think it would be hard to get to that extent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you'd have to be really invested in destroying someone's life, and I just don't think that they have that. So this is the first time I had ever heard anything like that. And so for him to really just, part of it was the look on his face, because even now that it's over and he's talking about it, he was like, you could tell he's still, you know, hurt from that. And that, he didn't even experience it to the level of we heard a lot of these Scientologists experiencing it. So the pain that's being caused all around in this series is just heartbreaking.
And it's just disgusting how they're breaking down these, like, very sophisticated things. Like, the fact, like, the atonement process that they were kind of discussing, and, like, you brought up, the fact that you sit down with, you know, the person that you offended or the person that offended you and talked it out. Like, that is, like, such a good way.
Good idea for everyone.
Of doing things. And so, not only are they going, you know, and destroying all of their beliefs, but they're also destroying their systems that are good systems in favor of the attacking, the hornet's nest and things like that, mm-hmm. which is just so, like, violent and childish and just not productive. And it's just awful, like, what they're doing, you know, to all these people. Which I thought was just insane. Let's talk a little bit about Leah Remini's sort of involvement when she was in the, you know, organization of Scientology. Because I always find it really interesting when she brings up and kind of admits to things that she does. And I like that she just gives it to us straight. She's like, this is why I did it. It wasn't right, but it's sort of why I did it. So she was sort of heavily involved with this unlikely pairing, because they asked her to sponsor different Nation of Islam members. She was really involved with Tony Muhammad, who is, like, apparently one of the biggest sort of names, especially on the West Coast. He's one of, like, the main ministers, you know, on the West Coast. What did you... Were you surprised that she was so involved with this?
Not... I probably would have been, had I known more about it at the time. Mm. Because, you know, even now when I go through Inglewood and I see... It's just so out of place. It just doesn't fit anything about the neighborhood. It just doesn't fit, you know, the overwhelming kind of mindset of the community. So I think I would have been surprised by it then had I known she was really fundamental in making that happen. However, now that we've kind of get you know, we've seen an insight into her. I definitely believe she has a spirit of helpfulness, yeah. and she definitely wants to help people. So to hear that she was like, how can we combat the, you know, preschool to prison pipeline? How can we address the gang situation? I believe, and this is just my opinion, that that was her willingness to be a part of this. And that is why she, like she said, it was her baby. So for her, this is a win-win. This gets Scientology, which she believes can change lives, into a community where it can change lives, and she can do something that's important to her. So it's a win-win for her. So what I kind of wanted her to say was the fact that that didn't happen at all the way you thought was where you really started to kind of say, wait, well, you know, what's going on here? Because I'm not surprised in her involvement, but I would just love to see what that meant for her when it didn't go that way.
Exactly. You're right. They're so strategic about these things. They're placing, you know, these buildings, these organizations in either struggling communities or the communities of the people they're trying to recruit. They're using celebrities to kind of gain that name recognition. They're using probably people who do have this giving spirit. Like, of course you would target someone who's willing to do anything and willing to help and someone with a good heart, because it's like, you'll play to their emotions in a way. And the other thing they kind of talked about that I thought was really strategic was love bombing, which I actually knew because I watched a different cult series this summer.
You like the cults.
I do. I'm really fascinated by them. But yes, love bombing is a real thing, and it's kind of when you just shower either like a new member or someone you're trying to impress with all of these like gifts and awards and, you know, just kind words and things like that, and make them feel really good so that they'll be more sort of loyal to you. And they did a lot of that with Tony Muhammad. And I found the little promotional video that we saw that he did, like, chilling.
Jaw-dropping.
Yeah. What was your reaction to seeing that?
My jaw dropped.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I, you know, again, the first thing he said was, the teaching of Scientology has helped me be a better Muslim. I'm gonna need more words. I need you to explain how that happened and how so. But that's, again, genius. You put a period right there, and then all of a sudden someone who's trying to be a better Muslim goes, oh, if it worked for Tony Muhammad, it'll work for me too.
Yeah.
So it, you know, again, the whole thing, I was like, that's not accurate. And then there it was.
It's the marketing. Like, they're so, so good at it. Mm-hmm. It's actually crazy. Let's go a little bit back just to talk about what ended up happening with Leah's organization that she wanted to start. So she wanted to start a mission and community center in Inglewood. And once she kind of, I think it was probably after she left Scientology, or I don't exactly know the timeline of it all, but it didn't get turned into what it was supposed to get into. It turned into the Inglewood organization, which I think, correct
ideal
me if I'm
organization,
wrong,
right?
Ideal, yes, yeah. Ideal Inglewood organization. It's fronted as a community center, though, correct?
Correct.
It still is fronted as that. But they're obviously not doing anything that a community center or charity or any helpful organization does. And we know that because Tipone Gray was someone who actually worked there and kind of got drawn in after she took a personality test, after she went through a breakup, again, sort of preying on a vulnerable person who's open to new things, who just wanted to grow spiritually. So kind of preyed on her, as they always do. And so she kind of exposed some of the things that happened there. She was like, well, yeah, let's get some turkey and some things for a food drive around Thanksgiving. And they told her, no, we don't have any money for that. Just told her to keep going out and handing flyers. And the thing that shocked me kind of the most is the fact that they have these crazy buildings, billions of dollars they invest, and there's like 10 people in them at one time. Did you, like, realize that, or was that kind of new information for you, too?
I went to the Church of Scientology mm-hmm. building in Inglewood, because when I first saw it, I almost crashed, because it just looked like it doesn't belong there. Yeah. And so I went, and Sure enough, there was, when I went in there, I only saw three people. So, I mean, maybe it's big. And I go back to it again. It's beautiful. It is beautiful in there. And of course they were like, oh, do you want a free personality test? And I'm like, nah, I just wanted to see. I just want to see what was in here and see if you guys are really catching people. Like, because it just, again, if you understood the demographic, if you understood the community you were going into, you would know that is just not going to fly in Inglewood. But it's a beautiful center. And again, you know, I appreciate, there's a side of me that hearing that here's this woman who is at this point in her life where she didn't have a job. She just broke up with this guy. And then the Church of Scientology was like, hey, we'll give you a job. That's beautiful. That's exactly what religion should do. Help somebody when they're down. But then you're saying, hey, you can not only help me, you can help others too. Oh no, 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 no.
Yep.
What?
No. And it almost, to me, it sort of is very ironic, because last week we saw, I forget his name, but Mike Render's friend who gave him a job when he left Scientology. And it's like, it's just two very different ways of, like, obviously on the surface they're the same, but the way they actually treat people and what they actually do is so vastly different. And it just exposes how great they are at covering their tracks, but how, you know, not helpful and how harmful they actually are. And it's just really... just insane. Like, that's the only word I think of all the time, but it's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I want to talk about in regards to the actual episode is sort of what we begin and end on, because we begin and end on these, we begin on a note from Scientology, and then we end on Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam leader's sort of a speech that he gave, trying to discredit Leah and things like that. What did you think about both that letter and then that footage that we saw?
So the letter, I think I had the same reaction as Leah did. And the letter said that the Church of Scientology supports all religions, but we know that's not true. There's documents that support that fact that that's not true. She also said that, you know, she's been promoting hate. And the comparison is what messed me up, is she's been spreading hate similar to that of 1930s
yes.
Germany.
What?
Do y'all know what happened in 1930s?
That? Oh my gosh.
Like, that's okay. 1930s Germany. That's what we doing. Okay.
All right. You say so.
If you say so. And then at the end with Farrakhan, again, that was I think that was probably the most, personal I felt about this episode, because again, I always had a lot of respect for Minister Farrakhan, but to know that you have to know what's going on. You're not like some of these other Scientologists who were born into it. Your mom, you know, and you're a kid, or you were vulnerable, and that's not what's happening. You know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly what you're saying. And to hear this leader stand up in this pulpit and not only discredit Leah, but completely lead his congregation astray. That struck a chord with me. Like, it truly did, because it's like, okay, I think a lot of people have a overwhelming desire to connect with something spiritually, no matter what that religion is. That's why I try very, very hard not to bash any religion, because I think we all, as humans, have a desire to connect with something and believe that there's something bigger than us. But I still think that the leadership of whatever religion should take that responsibility very sincerely and honestly.
Yeah.
So that seeing him up on that stage truly bothered me. I'm not even gonna lie.
Very well said. Very well said. It's just, I mean, I say this, I've repeated it myself, I feel like it's redundant, but it's just sad how much they prey on people that they feel like they can exploit, and that's what they do. They just exploit all these people and organizations to gain more power and to keep up appearances. And it's just like, what is the point of it all? And I don't know that we'll ever know the answer to that,
right.
But I hope that, you know, I'm anxious to keep learning.
And I will say one thing that I've kind of, you know, I've told you this off. Oh, by the way, if you want to go to the Inglewood Scientology, every week, you guys, I'm going to try to get her to go to a Scientology center. This is going to be my new thing. But one of the things I thought Scientology could have hit it out the park is if they had kind of just remained with this, we embrace all religions. Because at the end of the day, no matter what religion you are, unless you've died, come back, And not that, oh, I saw the light die, because there's a scientific way to explain that. But unless you've been dead for like 10, 15, 20 minutes and then came back and then you've kind of seen, none of us know, you know? So if Scientology had taken this overwhelming ability to create beautiful architecture, obviously help those who want to create movies, songs, everything, and kind of just said, hey, let's make a cool place where everybody can just come together and let's try to figure it out. Let's try to make the world better together. They could have really knocked it out the park, you know, and just been this worldwide force to be reckoned with. But instead, we're doing this show talking about all the ways you're destroying lives.
Exactly.
Huge fail.
Because it's not the true goal. No matter what they say, it's not the true goal, as we've learned time and time again. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to say about the episode, or would you like to move on to our segments?
Let's do one shout out from, please forgive me if I mess up your name, but I believe it's Aisha Hammett. She says, I don't support the nation nor the Church of Scientology. I have my own faith, but I do support Miss L, which is Miss Leah, and anyone's views, if you guys know what I'm saying.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. I think that's absolutely, at the end of the day, the attitude we all need to take.
Yep.
Just respect other people.
Kindergarten.
Yes.
Do right and be nice.
Exactly. Love it. Absolutely agree. Let's move on to our special segment. Every week we highlight a different celebrity that is involved in Scientology because Scientology heavily relies on sort of brand name, you know, per se, and their celebrity influencer kind of people to bring other people in. So this week, let's talk about Kirstie Alley, because I like her acting. Like, I like her work. She's in, for those who don't know, Look Who's Talking, which is, you know, maybe a subpar movie, but a fun one nonetheless.
I love that movie.
It's great. Drop Dead Gorgeous, and my personal favorite, the Disney Channel movie Toothless, where she played the Tooth Fairy.
Yes.
That was a wild movie. I loved it. I think I watched it like a year ago because I was like, what was that? And I was like, oh, it was that. It was that. I would highly recommend it. A ride, you guys. But so Kirstie Alley was raised as a Methodist, but actually became a member of the Church of Scientology in 1979. So she's been one for a long time. She, at the time of becoming a Scientologist, it came out that she actually had a cocaine addiction and went through Narcanon, which is a Scientology-affiliated drug treatment program. I don't know too much about that. I feel like maybe we might learn about that in future episodes. And I think that I read one of our lovely commenters last week saying that that was not a legitimate drug rehab, which I'm not surprised. Disappointed, but not surprised.
Right.
So she went through that. In May 2000, she purchased a mansion in Clearwater, Florida, which is the spiritual headquarters of the Church of Scientology, which I found interesting. She also donated $5 million to the church in 2007. $5 million.
Wow.
They don't need money, Kirstie. They don't need any more money. But hey, that's her involvement. And yeah. So that's our highlight this week.
You know, I didn't realize she was that. I mean, I knew she was a Scientologist, but I didn't realize to that extent.
Yeah, because there are definitely levels. Like, there are people that are just like, yeah, and are kind of associated with it. And there are people that are hardcore. Kirstie Alley is definitely more hardcore than maybe we realized.
Definitely.
Yeah. Do you have any news for this?
I do have some news.
TV news.
Okay, so, you know, last week, one of the things I said is, you know, Scientology can't be that big. It can't be worldwide. Not true.
Oh.
There is an Australian pop icon, and she is a third generation Scientologist. And she is sending, her name is, I probably should have wrote that down, but it sounds like Kirstie Alley. I think that's why I got confused. But she is sending her daughter, her 14-year-old daughter, to a boarding school. A Scientologist boarding school. And do you know how much the tuition is for said boarding school?
Just take a guess.
Okay, I'll give you a starting point.
Okay.
The yearly tuition for Harvard is just over $45,000 a
year. It's got to be $60,000.
$72,000
no,
a year
for a 14-year-old in a boarding school?
For a 14-year-old. Her name is Kate Sobrano, C-E-B-E-R-A-N-O, Sobrano, and she is a pop icon in Australia, and she feels her 14-year-old daughter needs to be taught Dianetics right now for $72,000 per year, more than it'll cost you and I to go to Harvard.
That's insane. insane. Yes. Well, yes. Thank you for that jarring piece of news.
One other thing. I know we all saw in memorandum to Pony Gray. Her daughter said she had been sick for a long time, and so I'm not sure what she was battling, but she had a long-standing illness, and she succumbed to her illness before, obviously, the taping of this show. So
very sad. But honestly, props to her. Mm-hmm. Like, even in illness, like, she wanted to speak out and stand up. And, I mean, I commend her so greatly for that. Yes. And everyone who comes on the show and talks, because that's a very scary and risky thing to do. So props to everyone that, you know, has any involvement in this. So we don't really have predictions on the show because it's a documentary series. However, we did get a short little promo. And next week looks... I'm so, so eager to watch next week because it's going to be focused on Shelly Miscavige. And they kind of tease in the promo that if anyone could have started a mutiny, it would be her. I'm looking forward to it.
I know we have no predictions. I am looking forward to it, but...
Predict something.
No, I just want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you think she is still with us on this earthly plane?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Personally, do you?
No.
All right, we'll talk about that more next week. I don't know that we'll ever know the answer, honestly, because it's been a mystery for so long. I hope we someday do. I hope this organization gets taken down and we kind of learn the truth about all of these things. But it's going to be a really, really insane episode next week. I'm so excited about it. Until then, where can they find you?
You guys, you can find me, Jackie Ray, on all things social media at JRayTheFanatic. And you can find me here, of course, on Tuesdays doing this show with you guys and on Thursday doing The Supernatural. Why do I always do the Mr. Burns fingers? I don't know.
Supernatural. Feels right. And you guys, I'm Taylor Gates. You can find me on Twitter at @Alphabet_Anne, on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. I also host Queen America, a Facebook watch show every Tuesday at 7, and also Legacies every Thursday at 10. So check me out on those two. We will see you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.